in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. You can get in your Bibles there. And just a minute, I wanted to say like some comments on Memorial Day. And of course, we saw the graves. Those are pictures from Arlington National Cemetery. And, you know, you see so many graves there, you know, people that sacrificed their life, paid the ultimate price, and we enjoy the freedoms and benefits of that. I was reading in some statistics, and of course, these are estimates. I mean, they're probably missed some here and there, but just to give you an idea, in America's wars, they estimated that 25,324, like I say, is probably maybe more than that, but died in the Revolutionary War. 529,331 died in the Civil War. World War I, Americans, 116,516 in World War I. 405,399 in World War II. Over 54,000 in Korea. Over 58,000 in Vietnam. Over 4,000 in Iraq. Over 2,000 in Afghanistan. And, of course, Iraq and Afghanistan, we still have things going on. That number is prone to change. And, you know, and I was thinking about, we want to remember them today and this weekend. I know for a lot of us, and I'll tell you why in a second, Memorial Day is, you know, it's a holiday. You know, people are off on Monday, and I know there's going to be cookouts and picnics and things. And sometimes, unless you were immediately affected by that, you know, we don't often think maybe as much as we should. I grew up in a military town, and of course, so military was prominent in all my life. I was in the military as well, and a lot of you also, and we may think about it just a little bit more. But you know, when we look at those numbers, even if we add all the wars together, the deaths, what tells us this, that the majority of us, the majority of Americans, did not have a relative, at least a near relative, or even a friend that actually died, lost their life, or were killed in the war. So the burden of that loss is felt most by the families and the friends of those who did have a relative or family member or friend die in the war. When I was a young teenager, I just missed having to go to Vietnam by like... Actually, the reason I miss having to go to Vietnam is because I didn't pass the seventh grade and had to go again. Otherwise, I would have been out of high school when the draft went on. I was when the last draft. My birth date was about the third day they called. I would have went for sure, but you know, guess it paid not to be too sharp back in those days somehow. But a couple families over. I remember this very distinctly. It was my girlfriend's cousin. His family, the parents worked, the husband worked with my mom at the Norfolk Naval Air Station. Their son, Cliff Wheelhouse, he was in Vietnam, had been in they'd been in a fight in a village the night before. He went back the next day, the next morning, to check on the villagers to see if they were okay. He was killed by a sniper. And I'll never forget, you know, the impact on that family. Even as a teenager, I remember that distinctly, going to the home. They had a memorial set up in the house with his picture, the flags, some things. The impact on his mother was probably seen the most. You know, you never get over that. She carried that burden to her grave. And the father, like I say, Mr. Wheelhouse, he worked with my mom. And Sherry and I were up a few years back at the Memorial Weekend. We were in Washington and went up there for Rolling Thunder and went over to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And so I looked up Cliff's name and in the book, saw it, went to the panel, saw his name on the, up there a little bit above your reach on the panels there at the memorial. And if you've never been to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and of course this is Memorial Days for all the wars, but that one, I grew up in it, and so it stuck out in my mind the most. The Rolling Thunder, of course, are up there this weekend. All the motorcycles are up there, and it's way up in the hundreds of thousands of motor. You've never seen anything like it in your life, and they have a parade today. And we went down there, and, you know, everybody was talking. It's real chattery out around there. You know, of course, you got hundreds and thousands of people. And then, you know, you go across the street from where the vendors are, and Vietnam Veterans Memorial was over there. And it was just amazing how when you walk down there, the silence that everybody, nobody's telling you to be quiet. Nobody's saying you have to be quiet. It's just you get down to the wall and all the chatter just stops. And it's just, you start looking at this wall of names and names and names. You know, when I say 58,000, I think over, probably maybe more than that. Most of them on the wall. And it's impressive, the awesomeness, you know, of that. Arlington National Cemetery is another awesome site. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, another quiet place to see. And, you know, it gives us time to reflect and think about those things. And what I want to say to you this morning, I don't want to diminish one bit what those people paid, the price that they paid, and the families that lost, the loved ones that they did lost. But I do want to magnify Jesus Christ, what He's done. Because I know this, that I was in the military, wasn't during a wartime, there could have been. And you know, you can die in the military, not during a wartime, just by being around hazardous material and things that you have to do and being at sea. And I was in the Navy, and you know, if you'd have seen my boat, you'd have wondered how come it stayed afloat to start with. But we wondered about it. But I know that probably all the sane ones and most of the men and women that went in the military, when they went to war, they were doing everything they could to stay alive. I mean, they wanted to come back. I mean, they were trying to live, and they were fighting for their life, literally, many times, and they wanted to come back and live. But Jesus Christ, man, when He came to this earth, He came and He died for you and I. On purpose. I mean, He knew that He came, when He came, that He was going to not only die, that He was going to suffer and die, that we could have eternal life. Man, I'll tell you what, man, that's the thing that we really want to, and I want to magnify. And like I said, I'm not diminishing what those men and women did, but I'm a gospel preacher. I'm here to tell you about what Jesus Christ did for us. I was singing yesterday. Modern technology's great. I got for Christmas, I got a stereo receiver now, the modern stuff. It's got the Bluetooth technology, you know, we know what that is. And so you can take your phone and like if you don't even have to buy records anymore, you know. I just talk to the phone, tell the phone, you know, a song by so-and-so, and then it goes into my receiver and plays out my speakers. And man, I was last night, we were listening, I just had some time, turned off the TV and wanted to listen to some music, man. And I played an old Charles Johnson and the Revivers song, I Believe When Jesus Died. He died for me, man. I mean, what a song right there, man. If that don't get you right there. Ruth said this morning, she said, boy, if the people want to have church, they ought to just come to choir practice. I mean, I got my choir, we're singing song. I got my choir, half of them's crying. We can't sing songs here lately. But right now we don't have a piano player, so we're using kind of some CD music and stuff to sing with. And I think it's been good for us in a way, kind of impressive there. But we were having church. You know, worshiping God, and I thought about that song. I believe when Jesus died, He died for me, and I want to think about that some as we go through the message today. Jesus fought the armies of hell, defeated them on the cross, and He paid the ultimate sacrifice. I was reading about Memorial Day. You know, you try to, the holidays kind of constrict you a little bit on preaching. I mean, I have other messages I wanted to preach, but I just felt like I wanted to get something revolve around Memorial Day and today as well, and prayed about that. And you know, some of the people were saying, well, you know, every Sunday is Memorial Day for the Christian. I said, nah, that's not right. Every day is Memorial Day for the Christian. See, I think this is what's part of our problem as Christians, and I just want to, you know, put it out there, not beating you down with it, but I just think the church, any, you know, the church whole, proper, not just this church, but all. One of the problems with this is we've kind of confined Jesus to a little box, or we've got him confined to a space and a time slot in our life, and we're, well, okay, on Sunday, let's start getting, let's look pious and get our Bibles and dressed up, and let's go on down to church and shout amen a couple of times, and we're going to act like Christians on Sunday morning, and then we get back, and then after Sunday afternoon or Sunday night, if you come back on Sunday night, then we forget about Jesus the rest of the week until if you come Sunday, you might think about it, or if you don't, you just don't think about him until next week. That's our problem. Man, listen, we need to, it said remember, and Jesus said in our altar table there, this do in remembrance of me, about the communion service, but we don't have to have communion in that sense to remember Jesus Christ, what he did. I remember him every day of our lives that we get up. It's just like Mrs. Wheelhouse every day when she got up. I don't think that there was a day that went by that the Wheelhouses didn't think about their son that died in Vietnam. I mean, there wasn't time that they forgot about it. There probably wasn't a minute of the day that didn't go by that they didn't think about the son that they lost. And I think it ought to be that way with the Christian. I think it ought to be, man, every minute of every day, we ought to think about Jesus Christ and the price he paid for us that we could have not freedom from sin, eternal life. I mean, we got a home in heaven, man, that this isn't going to be the end of it all. And so I just want us to think about that. Listen, every day is a memorial day for the Christian when we think about what Jesus Christ did. I got the title of the message this morning is called Heroes of Faith, those in God's army. We see I didn't read it all, but in verse 32, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, the Bible says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your Son who came and died for us, Lord, that we could have eternal life, we'd have freedom from sin, we could have the victory in this life also, and then certainly in the life to come. And I pray that you speak to our hearts today through your word, Lord. Help us to just keep that thought in the forefront of our memory, Lord, of the price you paid. And Lord, also those men and women that died for us in this country, Lord, that we could have our freedom, Lord. We're going to remember them as well. But I want you to speak to our hearts now through the preaching of your word. Lord, you know every heart that's here. You know every need that we have, Lord, and we know you can speak. Lord, help us get out of the way, Lord, so that you can work and move. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point I have is I used enlisted. Sometimes you have to get your message alliterated just so it makes sense to me. Half the time, it's more aggravating sometimes, I think, just preaching. But enlisted, we think about these men and women that we read about up there, the heroes of faith in chapter 11, and they had kind of enlisted in God's army. And I started thinking about their faith right there. Faith, I shared with you last week, a friend of mine that I had witnessed to, and he told me, he said, I didn't know what faith, saved by grace through faith. He said, I didn't know what that meant. He said, but now I do. And, when you think about faith and the faith that we ought to have, think about this. We have a complete Bible. We've got the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in your heart. Huh? We have got the scriptures to look back at what other people did. And that, like I say, the Holy Spirit is a permanent possession. But you look at the faith of those men and women that we just read about in chapter 11. They didn't have a Bible. Probably didn't have any scripture, most of them whatsoever, in their possession. They didn't know about Jesus Christ at all. I mean, he hadn't come to the earth, and unless they knew something about prophecy, and a lot of them probably didn't, they probably didn't even know anything about Jesus Christ. They didn't have a church. They didn't have a pastor. They didn't have a church congregation. They didn't have the Holy Spirit as a permanent possession either. He worked in a different way with them. But I'm going to tell you something. They had faith in God. I mean, they had enough faith to be tortured to death. Can you imagine? Because we say we got it. We say, listen, oh yeah, well, you know, I got faith, man, faith in God. We all say that till a crisis comes up in our life. Huh? And it's just probably half of the crises that come up in our life is something that we're worrying about that's probably not going to happen anyway. And we just start worrying ourselves to death and can't sleep and flip and flop into bed. Just think about this. Think about if you were tied to a stake and they was getting ready to light a fire around you, they're going to burn you at the stake. You ever been burnt real bad? Huh? I have. It's no fun. And I can't imagine being burned over. But you got enough faith to stand there and say, you know what, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ. I'm not going to deny him. I'm not going to denounce him. Huh? I'm just going to go ahead and get burned to the stake. How about sawn asunder? It said somebody, sawn asunder. Boy, there's a lovely little way to go. Huh? Stretch you out on one of them racks and say, well, let's see, let's get that old dull saw that we done been cutting people up with, and let's saw off one of your feet, maybe start down there with your toes and cut your toes off, maybe 1 foot, maybe one hand, maybe cut your arm off, you know, start cutting your body parts off. Flayed to death, that was a real popular one, especially with the Ninevites. They like to just skin you to death, flay you to death. Huh? Just start pulling all your skin off till you finally die. They can get all your skin off before you die, by the way. You can lay there a little while, die. Huh? You got enough faith to say, all right, listen, all I got to do, because you could say this, see, you could say, well, listen, I'll just denounce Jesus Christ. I'll just say, well, God knows my heart, right? Isn't that what Christians always say to you? Huh? Yeah, they always, well, you know, brother, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. He knows it better than you do. Huh? God knows my heart. I'll just go ahead and deny him. That way I don't have to burn at the stake. And then I'll just ask God to forgive me after it's over with, because he'll forgive us, right? Huh? But you wouldn't have no testimony, would you? Huh? You wouldn't have a testimony. You have enough faith when your life's at stake that somebody, I'm going to tell you what, in the day we're living in, if we live long enough, it could come to that. Huh? You better make sure your salvation's real. How do you do it, man? Well, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit of God's in your heart. You'll do it. You can do it. But boy, I'll tell you one thing, it'll weed the fakes out just like that. Huh? It'll weed all the fakes out just like that if you got enough faith to stand through that. And then the others, through faith, they had victories too. Listen, it wasn't all gloom and doom. Not everybody died. It talked about ones that all the those by faith that they defeated armies, and it says they subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions. Remember old Daniel down in the lion's den? Huh? Old Darius ran down there the next day, said, hey, oh, Daniel, how's it going down there? You all right? He said, I'm okay. I'm all right. He said, he didn't deny his God. It was a testimony to God. Man, what a powerful testimony that they had faith. And they just believed God. They had faith in God. They were believing God. They looked ahead. Do you have that kind of faith? Enlisted in God's army. Look what it says in chapter 12, verse 1. It said, lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. That's talking about running a race. I understand that. And that's what you have to do. When I went in the military, you know, this is what happens. Military men and women, you guys know this. You know, you go in there and they tell you this is what we're going to do for you and all. And they don't tell you everything because they're pretty slick. But they tell you and they say, you know, you sign up. Volunteer, when I went in, wasn't drafted. Volunteer, signed up. All right, I'm committing. Now, I got to go for three. I signed up for 3 years of my life. Such and such a day came around. They did all the preliminary physical and everything, make sure they was getting what they were paying for. I was okay. And went in the military, go down there, guess what? They gave us clothes put on. They gave us a nice new haircut. Took them all of 5 seconds to get that haircut. Huh? Gave us that, gave us the barracks, gave us our company commander, a lovely fellow, came in there and he told me, he said, I'm going to be your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, I'm going to be your dog for the next 9 weeks. You ain't got nothing else to worry about. Huh? Didn't have nothing else to worry about. All my troubles was over. Guess what? And I made a commitment there. And when things got ready, when we got ready to do something, they didn't come in there and say, "Oh, hey, Dan, wake up. Wake up. We was just wondering if you wouldn't mind marching today. Because, you know, we was thinking about marching down, doing some drills. Is that all right with you? Do you feel up to it today?" No. They got a trash can while you was dead asleep, took that thing, got in the middle of the barracks, had another guy. They had this time. They do it all the time. And they have it timed perfect. Guy's on there where the light switches is. And he threw the trash can, big metal trash can, down in the center of the barracks and ka-blang, blang, about the time the guy threw the lights on and they're hollering for you to stand at attention. And you jump out of the bed, man, hair all muffed out, man, you know, all wobbly. Huh? Yeah. Yes, yeah, that's the military for you right there. They didn't ask my opinion about nothing. They didn't ask where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do. They didn't ask if it was all right with me. You know why? Because I belong to them. Huh? You know what the Bible says about us being a Christian? It says we are bought with a price.
Amen.
We don't belong to ourselves no more. And so, in the same way, listen. Now, God's a lot nicer than my company commander. But at the same time, listen. God's not going to say, "Oh, hey, Angela, Billy, y'all feel like, you know, serving me today. Is it okay?" You know, no, it's not. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. He said, lay aside every weight. Lay anything that hinders you. See, what happens is, you know what? My chief didn't come in. And even later on in the Navy, when I got out of the boot camp, he said, well, Dan, listen, could you give us your agenda so we make sure that your agenda don't interfere with ours? Or we really don't want to interfere with your agenda. We want to try to work around everything that you got going on in your life. How many of you in the military? How many of you is in the military? Did they ever do that? They didn't really care about your agenda, did they? Huh? I mean, your agenda got put on the back burner, brother. And I'm going to tell you what, it should be that way with God, too. It's God's agenda, brother, because He bought us with His blood. He shed His blood that we could have eternal life, and He gave us life and gave us the Spirit so we could glorify Him. And listen, our agenda doesn't really matter. And it's not that God doesn't care about us or what's going on, but I'm tell you what, He's first. Huh?
Amen.
Huh? He's first right there. He said, lay aside every weight. They gave us, they had a thing called general orders. And you had to learn them all. You know, there's so many of them. I don't even remember them now, but, you know, number one order is obey all orders, right? Number one rule, Barney Fife said, obey all orders. And you had to learn those general orders. Well, God's got some orders and commands too. He's got some. In Mark 12, 30 and 31, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Not if you want to, not if you feel like it. He said, this is what you do. This is the first commandment. The second is likened to this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these. There's a commandments from God right there. Huh? That's Romans 12, 1. We're commanded to present our bodies a living sacrifice. What if we don't obey the commands? You know what happens to you in the military if you don't want to obey the commands? I remember when I was on watch, I had to watch from first got in, I was in boot camp still. And I had the midnight to 4 a.m. watch. That's a lovely one there. Nothing going on whatsoever, right? And you kind of standing at a thing. And I didn't know what to do, man. I didn't know, man, do I have to stand at attention the whole time? I mean, it's 2:00 a.m. You know, nobody's around. I was just, you know, you get to wandering there. They had a thing there with the general orders on it. And I thought, well, I'll wander over here. I think it was on the wall. And I went over and looked and I got to reading. And it said that if you fell asleep on watch during wartime, and this is in America, that you could be put to death. You could be executed. Now, it wasn't a wartime. If it had been, I was real awake right then. I was awake right then anyway. I got to think, wow, man, can you imagine? I mean, I just can't imagine the United States of America is going to execute one of its own soldiers for falling asleep on watch, but it's in the rules. It's there. They could put you to death for falling asleep on watch. I said, man. Wait, what about if we fail to obey God's commands? What about that? Well, you know, God's not going to kill us, I don't think, depending on what you're doing. I mean, I guess he could. There was people, Ananias and Sapphira found out different, didn't they? Huh? They didn't obey God's commands about not lying, or at least not letting people believe something that wasn't true, and they knew that they were believing something that wasn't true, which is the same thing as telling a lie. There's lots of ways to lie, by the way. Huh? God killed them. But, you know, certainly spiritual defeat. walk around defeated all the time. And, you know, God's army. Listen, here it is. I wish I had a big mirror right here. Put a big mirror up here and everybody would look at it. This is God's army that I'm looking out on. And, you know, you think, well, you know, that sounds kind of funny, right? But at the same time, all y'all filled with the Holy Spirit of God, what an army, man. Huh? Just what one person completely committed to Christ could do. And there's been some in the history of the world and in the Bible as well. One person committed to Christ, what that person could do. I mean, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You don't have any idea. You don't have any idea. There's people that tell me all the time, oh, preacher, I just can't. I can't do this. I can't pray in public. I can't do this. I can't go there. You don't have no idea what you could do when God get a hold. When God gets a hold of you, you don't know what you could do. I'll tell you what you could do. It'll be beyond your wildest dreams. What God could do with you, and you'd say, God, here it is. I'm enlisted. I've signed up. I've laid aside every weight. What God could do with you. It will exceed your greatest expectations. It will exceed your biggest plans. It will give you more joy than whatever you think is going to make you happy in your life. It will give you that kind. It will just be, it will, I got something I want to read to you tonight about what turning your life over to God will do to you. A person's account of it. So they enlisted, and they were enlightened, the second thing we see. It said there that in verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Some people think that means that all those people up there are looking down to see what we're doing. Some people say that's not true, and it probably isn't true, but it means this, that we have that great cloud of witnesses right here in the Word of God that's written down before that. And, you know, those witnesses, they didn't see what we see. I mean, we're living in the future compared to them. They couldn't see what we could see. We even have more of the Bible. We can see farther in prophecy than they did because we have the canonized Word of God. But they did know about a better resurrection, it said in verse 35. And so, and they had that faith, and that delivered them. And then others died. Others died. Others, and some of them, it said others had their dead raised again. And like I said, tortured and sawn asunder. Somebody said this, it takes more faith to endure than to escape. It takes more faith to endure what you might have to go through than to escape. And I think that because I don't think when we avoid all afflictions, or if we're devoid of them, our faith doesn't increase like it does when you're going in the storm, in the trial. And so, because sometimes you wonder, I've wondered this, and I've preached on it and talked about it, and I wonder about it. You know, we look at some of the, in the New Testament there, and we look at the apostles and some, and remember Stephen was stoned to death, and Peter was in prison and was going to lose his life the next day, but the Bible says that the church prayed for him, and an angel showed up and took him out. Well, how come Peter got taken out and Stephen got stoned? Because God was glorified when Stephen got stoned, and God was glorified when Peter came out, and later on Peter lost his life, and God was glorified in that too. See, it's not about us. It's just like when you're back in the military. It's not about you. That's what you find out. A guy gave me some good advice when I went in. He said, look, just blend in. That's what he told me when I went to boot camp. He said, don't stand out in any way, shape, or form. Don't be exceedingly good at nothing. And don't be real crummy at nothing. Just be in the middle of the road. You'll get through just fine. I did my best to do that. I ended up being a squad leader, though. They made me a leader of a certain group of the guys in my company, which puts more pressure on you to do things than that. But, you know, it's not about us. That's one of the reasons why, if you don't know this, well, how come they do? The reason they give everybody the same haircut? And you wear the same old mothball smelling uniforms because they want to take your identity away. That's the Marines. The Marines, they brainwash you worse than the Navy does. Huh? The Marines, yeah. They take your identity, and they can take the shortest little sawed-off guy that ever was and make him think he's Mighty Mouse, man. He's going to conquer the whole world. They make everybody think they can beat everybody. They get you thinking, but they want you thinking the same way because it's not about you. It's about the Army or the Navy or Air Force, whatever it is. It's all about that. Now, God doesn't take our identity away, and he's not trying to, but it's just about him getting glorified. God is concerned with our life, but it's his agenda that's more important than our agenda. That's what I want you to see. It's not about, all these little things I got going on in my life. It's about him. It's about him being glorified. Once we get that straight, a whole lot of things will be solved or settled in our life. And then the last thing we see enlivened, and we see that in verse 2. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look means to trust. I was listening to somebody, I think it might have been Oliver B. Green, maybe preaching on the radio this morning, and he was talking about this, about believing. So many people that I've talked to all around the county, all around the around here, they act like believing in Jesus is a one-time act. No, the way it's written, it means that you're continually believing, continually trusting in Jesus. Not just, I got baptized, I got saved, I made a profession. It means continually believing every day, trusting in Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus means looking every day, trusting him every day. An attitude of faith, listen, an attitude of faith, not just a single act. It's an attitude of faith. But think about this. What did Jesus look to? He was facing the cross. What did he look to? He didn't have to have faith the same way you and I do. He was God in the flesh. There wasn't any doubts. I mean, I guess he had faith because he walked as a man in humanity, but he doesn't have it the same way. What did he look to? Look what it says. It says he looked to the joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him. You know what the joy was that was set before him? Me? You? Huh? I believe that Jesus died. He died for me. When Jesus died, he died for me. I believe that if I was the only person in the whole world that needed to be saved, that Jesus would have died for me. Shed all his blood for me. He shed all his blood for you. Amen. The joy that was set before him was our salvation. He kept looking at that. He just kept looking at that. He saw us 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago when he was on the cross. He saw us. Don't that get you right there? I mean, he saw us. He saw us, and in spite of that, he died for us anyway. In spite of all our failures, listen, man, I'm sick. I'm sick and tired of the critics. I'm sick and tired of the critical attitude of God's people all over. I was sharing with my Sunday school class today about y'all, most of you know about the big revival down in Burlington, and C.T. Townsend down there preaching. I mean, 1,200 people got saved. The revival went on for 12 weeks. After it was over, he was discouraged because he got criticized by pastors. Jealous because of what went on, saying, oh, it's just a bunch of smoke and mirrors, and it was all just hyped up and this and that. And, hey, listen, man, I mean, look, and it, that isn't what it was. I'm going to tell you that right off the bat. And, you know, man, CT, he can sing. I wish I could play the piano. Man, I'd go over there and play something now and get you crying. Man, I just can't play the God didn't give me. Well, it's my laziness, I guess. I can't play the piano, and I, you know, sing a little bit, and it's not great. You'd be crying, but it wouldn't be because, you know, that's not it. And they can do all that, man. And I mean, you know, it's great. It adds to the service a lot and all that. But listen, man, you know who discourages us the most? It's not the world out here. It's the Christian people. Amen. There's nobody out there in that world out there that discourages me. It's Christian folks. And a lot of times we discourage other Christian folks. It's, you know, we just do. I mean, sometimes we're not trying to. Sometimes we're just stupid, just saying stuff like that. I'm just tired, though, of the critical attitude. I mean, because Jesus looked on us in all our faults and failures and sin. And he looked down. He saw that after he saved us that we was going to fail him a lot. Amen. He saw it. He still died. Huh? Man, he died for me. If nobody else was in the world, he died for you. If nobody else was going to get saved, he died for you. Amen. He said it was a joy. A joy to die for us. The joy that was, that's what kept him going. He endured the cross and he despised the shame. And the Bible says he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what his joy is going to be? One day he's going to present us to God the Father. I don't know. I don't think Satan's going to be allowed. And I always think about Satan coming before God with Job, about Job. Man, we come before the Father. Satan might be there and say, nah, man, that boy there, he's not saved. Look at that sin in his life. Look at all what he did. Jesus is going to say, uh-uh. No, I see the blood.
Amen.
Huh? He's going to tell the Father. He's going to tell God the Father, no, I see the blood. He's one of mine. Huh? He's one of mine. God the Father, Daniel Boone. One of mine, a child of mine. He's going to be, you think he's going to be happy? Oh, man. Woo! Wait till we get in there, huh? You think he's going to be happy? Huh? Oh, I can't hardly wait. I got it figured out, buddy. 72 degrees, no humidity. Sun shining, no gnats, no mosquitoes, no stink bugs. Huh? Slight little breeze. Oh my gosh, it'd be 11 o'clock all the time. Huh? 11 in the morning all the time. Just, huh? Morning side of things when everything's looking good. Huh? And you're going to be in there all eternity. Huh? The joy that was set before him. That's what kept him going. Came to die. Came to die. And only died. Not only died, just suffered and died. Suffered. Huh? But he was looking at us. Huh? Let me ask you something today. Have you trusted Jesus? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your life? Huh? Is your faith real? See, it's not a one-time act. It's an everyday act. Oh, listen, we fail in that. But I don't want you to trust in your baptism. You know, you just went in wet and come out, and went in dry, come out wet. I mean, a baptism just is showing the world that we're followers of Jesus Christ, a public profession, but we're already saved. I don't want you to just say, well, I remember back in, 30. You know, I was thinking about this. This August, 30 years I've been saved. Thought about, heard a guy talking about it on the radio, how long he'd been saved. And I started adding up the years. I said, this year, 30 years, 1987, I got saved. 30 years of following Jesus Christ. Wasn't a one-time act, though. I'm not thinking back 30 years ago, and all I got to show for my salvation is I came to the altar and got saved. Actually, I got saved at home. But that was it. It's 30 years of, and listen, there's some early struggles, trust me. 30 years of life of following Jesus Christ. It's an everyday act. I want to make sure your salvation's a real thing. Make sure it's a real thing. It's an everyday thing. Memorial Day for us every single minute of every single day. Huh? Don't put Jesus in a box. Don't have a little wall around him. Huh? Trust him. Are you trusting him today? Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Paul.